Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, over Christmas, because we're also hoping to move house this year, and I've been generally doing a bit of a sort, of a sort of lovely January sort. And obviously, we're very fortunate that we get lots and lots of running kit. And I think lots of the time people look at that and go, oh my God, that's so cool. Wow. However, it does mean that you do end up with bags and bags of shite and got to get in huge arguments with your family members for having hordes of running stuff that you've worn once. So I promised Doug that I would sort through it. So I was sorting through all this stuff. And so a few sports bras that I had maybe only worn once or had sort of forgotten about made their way back into my rotation while I was kind of sorting out things that I probably wouldn't wear again and would maybe give to charity or give to friends, and things that I was going to keep in my kind of running rotation. And I ended, sorry, what a long-winded way of saying I wore a different sports bra yesterday.
Welcome to episode 178 of the Women's Running Podcast. I'm your host, Esther Newman, and she's your other host, Holly Taylor. On this podcast, we talk about health, politics, stuff on TV, and what we ate last night. Occasionally, we talk about running. We're British, so we begin today's podcast talking about the weather, because, well, the weather has been insane. Then we move on to our goals and some chats about one of them, which is running a half marathon in New York in April, and that's one you can join us in, so check the show notes for a link to find out more. I talk about a half marathon that's a bit closer than that, and my worries about my training and how I'm going to get myself race ready in, 4 weeks. We also talk about goals, and Holly has a vast one to talk about. So we need your thoughts and your help. Where do you look for races? Do you know of a lovely big autumn marathon? Or what about an entry-level ultra with no mud? We don't think we're asking the impossible. Do please think about becoming a patron of this podcast at patreon.co.uk/womensrunning, because for just £2 a month, you can access our free monthly videos, our weekly newsletters, and you get to join our exclusive Pod Squad chat room where all the fun happens. And you must subscribe to Women's Running right now. Don't fast forward over this bit. Honestly, this is such a whopping great deal. Right now, you'll save 50% off the cover price, and you'll get a copy of our How to Run 5K guide absolutely free. And if you don't need it because you're scampering over mountains, it'll make a friend very happy indeed. Go to womensrunning.co.uk/bundle to get the deal.
To life after horrific weather. Shall we? I mean, I really want to know about how your Christmas was. I want to tell you about mine, but I think that we need to discuss the sort of post-apocalyptic conditions that we've been living in for the last few days.
Oh my fucking God. Oh my God. The rain. The wind.
The rain.
I think we're at the arse end of like two storms, aren't we?
And yeah.
I went for a...
Which made me laugh at yeah. name.
But I went for a run this morning, my normal route, and I couldn't go there. The bridge was flooded. So like that's yeah. quite a high up bridge.
Esther, I didn't tell you about this because I thought it would be very uneventful. But Cara, who you can listen to on our other podcast, though we'll go into detail more on that later.
Yeah.
Cara and I went to the Longleat Lights after work yesterday.
Nice, nice.
Awful. Awful.
Oh, awful.
Because it was a horrible, terrifying journey because that yeah. was when it was like really starting to come down. The rain was starting to go for it. And so we were a bit like, in the car driving there. Got there. Obviously, we were like the last entry because we didn't get there till like 6 o'clock. And that's when they have the last entries. And then it closes at 7. We were like, why did we do this? And then it was like the car park was almost completely flooded. We were having to wade through. It was tipping it down. And then we got in and the guy was like, you can't come in this bit, I'm afraid. So this year it's themed for The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe or Narnia, nice. Maybe the Narnia series. I wouldn't know. Didn't get past the lion. But they were like, you can't come in this bit because it's completely flooded. So we couldn't go into this whole... I don't know. There was like a ship and stuff. Prince Caspian.
I don't know.
We didn't get to see. and then we went round and then we're like, okay, well, that was a bit shit, but let's cheer ourselves up. It's absolutely pelting it down. Let's go and find a different bit to go and look at. And then we got to that bit. Mm. Halfway through our walk to that bit, we were plunged into darkness and we were like, oh God. And then this warden person with a big high vis thing came out to us and was like, guys, okay, everybody listen up. So all the lights have turned off and it's very dangerous. So you need to go that way back to the main square. And we just got like directed around the whole light thing because they'd all turned off. And,
oh no.
I know half all the lights like shorted out or something in the weather. So we didn't get to see the light show.
Shit.
And then we were like, well, this was a bust. Let's get back. We got some cinnamon donuts and got back and ate them in the car. And then we're like, let's go home. and Cara kindly was like, oh, I'll drive you back to Bath. Mm. And I felt incredibly guilty because we nearly got stuck. It was awful. Limply Stoke was like completely flooded. There was this like, I felt awful because these are people's houses, but also I couldn't help but laugh just at the gravity of the situation that we were in. It was lawless out there. It was a lawless country. People were trying to drive through these like huge puddles, like,
oh no.
It was sort of like a whole queue of traffic while just like one person was trying to sort of edge their way through the water without, people had pulled their cars over to the side of the road because they'd obviously like broken down because the engines had been flooded and stuff.
Oh,
awful.
My God.
And then we drove past this one bit where with these two people who were like sticking sticks down into drains. They were obviously trying to like clear all the leaves get it to flow better. And I was like looking
and obviously you leapt out of the car to help.
I know, of course, you know, rather than staying firmly inside and going, I'm not them. I hope they're alive to this day because the water was really coming up to their house and I was like, oh God. And then just as we drove past, it's not funny, I felt awful for them, but the woman turned to her husband and she just went, we need the police.
Oh no. Oh my God.
Awful. It was awful. So we finally got back to Bath. Then Cara, I think, hopefully made it back to Bradford-on-Avon, which would have been a nightmare. Bradford-on-Avon floods on a good day. So
I know. We're kind of right up against the Somerset levels here, aren't we? And I think that becomes, it's a real issue with floodplains. Massive.
We need
issue
the as a wise woman once said, we need the police.
We do actually need the police. Yeah. But more to the point, I couldn't do my bloody run this morning. I had to go down the London Road, which was horrific.
Oh,
so never
no,
mind those
the
poor
worst
people
road
with their flooded
Bath.
Homes. The worst road in Bath.
Yeah. Wasn't it, and one of the most polluted roads in the UK.
It is one of the most polluted rivers. Yes, and I have asthma. Anyway, but this is all about
risking
me.
Your life about, for this.
Yeah, exactly. Not about all those people whose homes will have been affected by these storms. But yeah, it's pretty bloody biblical round here, isn't it? I mean, it's fine now. But it's okay now.
I mean, classic Britain. It was like yesterday people were screaming they needed the police. People were breaking down. Like, and now the sun's out and it's like, what are we making such a fuss about? It's fine. I did go for a run yesterday, but it wasn't biblical. I guess looking back, it only started to really kick off sort of after lunchtime. And you'll be quite proud of me. This is part of my slight resolutions. I'm tentatively using the word resolution because I still want to. I mean, this morning I got up at about 9:02 and read my book in bed. But yesterday I did get up at 7:30 and I went for a run.
Holly!
I'm really trying to be a morning gal. Yeah.
You are. That's amazing.
Yeah. Though the run was a bit shit.
Do tell. What happened?
Well, over Christmas, because we're also hoping to move house this year, and I've been generally doing a bit of a sort, of a sort of lovely January sort. And obviously, we're very fortunate that we get lots and lots of running kit. And I think lots of the time people look at that and go, oh my God, that's so cool. Wow. And I won't, you know, stick my nose up at it. It's amazing. It's brilliant. And we're very lucky. However, it does mean that you do end up with bags and bags of shite and got to get in huge arguments with your family members for having hordes of running stuff that you've worn once. So I promised Doug that I would sort through it. So I was sorting through all this stuff. And so a few sports bras that I had maybe only worn once or had sort of forgotten about made their way back into my rotation while I was kind of sorting out things that I probably wouldn't wear again and would maybe give to charity or give to friends and things that I was going to keep in my kind of running rotation. And I ended, sorry, what a long-winded way of saying I wore a different sports bra yesterday. and I knew from the off, I should have turned back. Because as soon as I got out the door, I started kind of gently warming up by doing a brisk walk down the hill. And even a brisk walk, I was like, oh. And sort of a few minutes into the run, I was like, I don't know what to do. I am really scared that my tits are going to turn black and blue because it just gave me nose port. And I won't name and shame, but should have kind of known better. It wasn't like a heavy duty one. And I think I'm still in denial about being a big boobed gal. And I'm like, oh, that's fine. I can use this. But I really do need a sort of a Mary or a, you know, something of the like that really and I need an encapsulating situation now.
Rather than a compression. Yes. Yeah.
Rather than a compression, because they were just sort of, oh my God, it was so painful. They were just bouncing and in pain. And I did still commit that I was like, okay, I will run at least, you know, 10, 15 minutes, just like a bit around the park and around the block so that not that you deserve things, but so that I could reward myself by ending up at the coffee shop and getting a little coffee, because that was what I'd used to get myself out of bed in the first place. But yeah, it was a bit of a bust, which was not a great, well, I'm not going to use that as a premonition. I don't really believe in that stuff, but I was a bit gutted because I was like, what a lovely day. I'm going to get up with the sun and go for a nice run and watch Bath wake up around me. And instead I felt like I wanted to have my boobs lopped off afterwards because they were so painful and it was really horrible.
But you did it. You did it. You got out before breakfast. I mean, it's a big thing. It's a big thing to do. And also it's a little learn, isn't it? Because I've definitely done that before. I've done it. I've gone for a run before wearing a normal bra. Just by accident. Because I very, very quickly changed. Like I'd, you know, walked the kids to school or something and then come back and then quickly, just super, super quickly, right, change my top, da, 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 got out and be maybe kind of, you know, 50 yards down the road and just think, everything feels very uncomfortable. What on earth is going on? And then realize that I've got an underwired crap bra that I've had from Marks & Spencer's for the last 8 years on. And it's like, this doesn't support me when I'm just sitting. So, you know, so, and I just,
it's so painful, isn't it?
It's when you so painful.
Honestly, I feel like potential pitch for a new Saw film. Make a woman run with no bra on to the end of the road.
Oh my God. It's so, and actually, I have to say, because I'm on the smaller scale of things, I'm a 34B, and I still like, and they still kind of market, they, the gods, the bra people, they still market bras as kind of like light, medium, and something support, don't they? And anything that's
high
medium,
impact, yeah,
high, like, that's the one,
yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And medium or light are useless. Like I would say, I would use light as an everyday bra, just walk, like sitting at my desk. I wouldn't even do that for yoga, because I've got things that are called light bras that haven't even performed as a crop top. Medium, I will use for yoga and maybe like a spin class. But even then,
I've done them for spin classes.
You jiggle loads in a spin class, don't you? And actually, I would go for a high in a spin. So high, I still, like, even for my tiny boobs, I'm still like, Mary, same as you, or what's the other classic one? Or there's a Sweaty Betty one that I love, that's that...
Runderwear.
Oh, what's... Runderwear, yeah, I put that in medium for me.
Do you? I've got a really good Runderwear one that I really like. I suppose when you say that, maybe what I've worn it more for and loved it is like workouts. I'm Mary all the way. And yeah, that Sweaty Betty Zero Gravity one or whatever it's
that's
called.
That's the one. Yes.
That's good. That's it's an encapsulation good. Number again.
Total encapsulation. Yeah, I really, really like that one. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's just, yeah, I even for... Even for the tiny titted amongst us, you just need something to really strap you in, don't you? Really, really painful. Oh, well, I hope it's not putting you off.
Well, I don't think so. I think it did exactly what you said there, where it made me go, well, I still did it. And I guess it's like, I know what the problem was. It would have been worse if I'd have had all the gear on and I'd have felt ready to go. And then I'd... still had a horrible time, then I would have been like, oh God, how am I going to make myself do it again? But I'm quite motivated to go for my next one because it's like, oh, well, I just won't wear that bra again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm feeling all right about it all. It is a bit weird this time of year, isn't it? Because you've got a plan, which we should definitely come on to and discuss. But I'm in the slightly weird position of like, because we're our next half, it or next event, but my next event is the half that we're doing in New York at the end of April. Please do join us. So exciting. You can probably find all the stuff for that in the show notes, or if not, on our website and stuff. I'm going to start a proper half marathon training plan towards the end of January for that. But until then, I've not really got anything, and it's not really worth me starting full on half marathon training. So I'm just kind of trying to like keep up a general base. I don't want to abandon, because over Christmas I didn't do a huge amount, and I don't want to have to feel like I'm starting entirely from scratch when I do start the plan. So I'm just kind of trying to keep ticking over, but it's quite difficult because the way I would normally handle that lack of motivation would be to give myself like a race, but I don't want to do that because I've already got one, and I don't want to risk not being able to do that one because I'm really excited about it and I've got a plan and stuff. So I think I've been kind of looking around, and there are some sort of, I wondered about maybe doing like a challenge, like, you know, you can do like Miles for Mind or things like that, where you're kind of like totting up stuff. But to be honest, I think what's working for me is I'll just probably stick to my med, which is not quite red, but my move every day in Jan thing. And that will make me run sometimes, because I'll get fed up of doing other stuff and vice versa. So.
Yeah, I really, really wanted to do that. And I did that. I did the classic thing that I know that we've talked about before, where we say, like, you know, if it doesn't work out for you on a particular day, then that doesn't mean that's the end of the kind of the resolve to do it. However, so on January the 1st, we were traveling back from Devon.
Yeah.
And I was in the car for half a day and then exhausted for half a day. I didn't move. I didn't move at all. I moved into a Costa Coffee and out again. And then I took suitcases upstairs and shouted at
Done.
The kids.
But that taking suitcases upstairs is strength training. I do feel so you. I've got that a little bit too. I had it with both the move every day and the drinking thing. That like I'm not doing dry jam this year, but me and my mum are both doing like a checking in on each other thing where like. I did it last year as well, where we're being like, okay, I'm just going to drink on a Friday and a Saturday night, and then I'm really looking forward to it. Sorry if that sounds mental to some people, but we do drink quite a lot of wine in my family. So my mum and I are doing that, and we're checking up on each other. And then on the 1st of Jan, we were away in Devon as well. I wonder if we'll discuss that. And then it was like Doug or someone was like, oh, it's a bank holiday. It doesn't count. I'm blaming it on someone else. I fully consented to having a large glass of wine with my dinner. So I'm now back in the saddle again, and I haven't had a drink for 3-4 days or however long it's been. But I'm wondering whether maybe I'll do like, I won't drink tonight and then my mum can not feel betrayed. But I don't know. We'll see.
I
had the same thing. But really, it is going back to that thing, Esther, isn't it, of something is better than nothing, and throwing the whole thing out the window because one day didn't go to plan. It would be so counterintuitive to what you're actually trying to achieve. If I'd just gone, oh, bollocks, well, then I'll have a glass of wine tonight as well kind of thing the next day, then I suppose it. If the end goal is that I wanted to cut down on my drinking, then it would be counterintuitive to doing that. So it's a bit annoying not to have a nice clean sort of revision plan or whatever, isn't it?
I know, and I did that thing, like I've spoken about this a little bit on our Patreon newsletter, but like I really try and practice what we preach and fail always. And one of the things I've always wanted to be is someone that doesn't feel as though they need to like have all these kind of things to tick off. But I am at heart a list person. I love a list. Mm-hmm. I love having little achievable goals. And so like New Year's resolutions to me are like epic. I absolutely love them. But it means that in my head, I haven't even written them down, which is very unlike me. But in my head, I've got hundreds of them buzzing around. And I haven't achieved any of them like yet to any degree. I don't think I've done like sort of, I've got little ones, little kind of fitness ones. Like I wanted to, generally speaking, I need to up my strength training. I know I do. And so, because like even my boot camp fell off the radar massively towards the end of last year because of training for the marathon and just because of staff. So I wanted to pick that back up again, but I know I can't do that twice a week anymore just because of logistics. So it's kind of like, right, how do I do? Yeah. I can do one in the park, but what do I do otherwise? So I thought, right, I'll do something at home. And I was going to start with like 10 press ups every day from January the 1st. And I've done that once. And it's now the 5th of January that we're recording this. So that was, I haven't done that, but it doesn't mean that I won't, but that was one thing I wanted to do. So it was kind of, that was it. Another thing I wanted to do was not fitness related at all, which was to try and spread out my housework through the week rather than shouting at everyone on a Saturday morning and just destroying my entire weekend while hoovering under people's feet while they're playing Minecraft. I'm talking about Ted, obviously. So that was one thing. And I think Dave. I think I'm kind of doing that a little bit, but failing miserably. And then the other thing that I had was that I do have a half marathon that is so soon. It's the 11th. It's the 11th of February.
Okay. So a month and a bit.
So I had a training plan that I was adhering to, and my training over Christmas sucked. I had to do everything that we've talked about. I had to just fit it around when I could. And mm-hmm. it was unlike any other Christmas for the past sort of 5-6 years, where because we were abroad and because there were other relatives there, I really couldn't take the piss. So yeah. I had to, like, there was one time I went for a run at like 4 o'clock in the evening when it was dark, which was not my happy place, but I was like, I've just got to squeeze it in. I managed to run on Christmas Day, and only 3 people knew that I had, and we had a house of 10. So I just managed to just zip out and zip back again. Yeah. I know, but it was just like, you know, open stockings, make sure that everyone is distracted, go out, come back, then cook a roast dinner. It was one of those. And then, yeah, I've managed to kind of do bits and pieces. So I wasn't looking at my training plan at all. I just thought, I've just got to do it. And so on January the 1st, when I was sitting there thinking about all these other little resolutions I was doing, I then had a look at the training plan kind of like through half closed eyes, mm-hmm. thinking, ooh, and I am so far behind, Hol. I'm so far behind. I'm really worried. Like, I'm supposed to have done like 8 miles or something. And I think the longest I've done is 10K. And that was ages ago. So,
okay.
I don't know. I feel really...
I'm going to do what you would do if it were me right now mm-hmm. to you.
Okay.
Oh, God. Sorry, my stupid doorbell. Forget it.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Didn't you? Oh, it gives me the shock of my life every single time. And I know they rang every single one then because it only went... So he obviously went... Brum, and all
yeah.
The, yeah. Anyway, or she. Right. first of all, I wanted to ask you, what is it, just out of curiosity? That's not part of your therapizing. I'm just interested.
Okay, it's this is when I really need to check my privilege. It is the Barcelona half marathon.
Woohoo! Okay, why are you doing the Barcelona half marathon?
Shits and giggles. Because Barcelona? Because Brooks is flying us out there, which is very, very nice. So we're going with Brooks. Running
shits
fun
and
times.
Giggles. I'm taking, yeah, exactly. Running fun times. I'm taking shits and giggles as your first answer. there, to be honest. So first of all, I'm going to say to you there that obviously then it doesn't really matter about your performance. Like, you don't have to do it perfectly. You could walk run it if you needed to. In fact, you might even want to, if you want to have a look at the Sagrada Familia, which they're still bloody building. I can't believe they're still building that. You know, you can, that's always an option. If you are the one who's beholding yourself to doing it, you know, run whatever your A goal is, running the whole way, getting it in a certain time, it's absolutely not too late. Like, famous words from Simon Lewis, our manager at the time of our brand. He was like, mm-hmm. I remember being really nervous about the first Bath half, and he was like, if you can run 7 or 8 miles, you can run a half marathon. And that may not be true for everybody, but it was certainly comforting at the time. And I think, like, you know that you can. You've done it a lot. It might be a bit more uncomfortable, but then you're not like, you're not doing it because you are desperate. If it gets uncomfortable, then that becomes your choice that you can push through if the time is more important. But if enjoying being in Barcelona and seeing some Gaudi while you're running around is more important, then absolutely don't push yourself. I think there are plenty of things that you want to do, plenty of goals. I know, I totally see you. And funnily enough, in our 5K series, which you can listen to every Tuesday, Cara is having exactly the same thing about having, she's going to be able to run 5K and she's going to be totally fine. But she's had a bit of an injury and it's pushed her back a bit. And it's because you are both organized, listy people. I think seeing it like that sometimes and seeing, oh, I've missed bits, is like, ah, because it's really hard to fathom the end goal when you haven't sort of done the preparation exactly how you'd like to. But
absolutely, it makes me completely spiral. And I think it's because in my head and my legs, in reality, like, when I've run half marathons before that have felt comfortable, not fast, I am not going for fast, but ones that have felt the most comfortable have usually been when I've been training for a longer distance. And so I've usually run further than a half before I've done the half. So when I run the half, the last thing I'm worried about is the distance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of that's all tucked away. I don't even have to worry about that because I know I can do the distance. So literally it's just kind of, it's churning the legs over. It's kind of remembering my strategies and it's getting to the finish line. And it's, you know, it's all those sorts of things. And I'm not in that place at the moment. You know, since the New York, which was November the 5th,
which was
the longest I've...
2 months ago, Esther, which you also mustn't forget. You have said to me before, when I've been nervous about doing a half marathon 6 months after my last half marathon, you only did a half marathon 6 months ago. You did a marathon 2 months ago. So your fitness has not, it, of course it will have dropped because that's how, that's good for you. You can't maintain that level all the time and without, you know, putting, unless you're a professional athlete, but like you won't have lost it all. You're still a marathoner. You're still a, you're fine. And we're all proud of you. Sorry, that's not the only answer to it. But honestly, I'm certainly not undermining how you're feeling because I know that I've definitely been there and it's not very nice to feel underprepared, but you're...
It does feel like so a fine. Little bit... It does feel scary, but I thought, like, if there are other people out there who also have a looming deadline and a Christmas that didn't accommodate training or a body that didn't accommodate training or whatever, one just decided not to do that training. If someone else, anyone else out there has got a marathon on the, I'm just checking now, on the 11th or around that weekend, the 10th, 11th. And no, it's a half. It's a half. Oh my Jesus Christ, no.
If that's older, then you might be fucked.
No. You wouldn't be. It would all be fine. We would make it work.
Oh God. And I did that. I gave away the fact that I did watch the Gavin and Stacey special there because I was like, oh my Jesus Christ, which I think is a Pam thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the 11th of February. So where are we now? We're on the 5th of January, which is where I am now. I have got 5 weeks. Got 5 weeks. So last week I run it. I know that fifth week rather is 6 weeks away, actually, to be honest. So in the week before our taper, so that means I've got 4 weeks. 4 weeks to train to a half marathon. So what I'm gonna do is this weekend coming up, which will have gone by the time people are listening to this, but this weekend coming up, I am going to aim for 7 to 8 miles on my long run. And then I guess the weekend after that, which will be the 13th, 14th of January, I will aim for a kind of 8, 9, I guess.
Esther, listen to this.
Then it will be a 10, 11
training.
During the National Running Show, I've got to try and do a 10, 11 run. So
it's not ideal, is it? Yeah, I think that if you've got 4 long runs left, you could definitely do, you know, so you've run a 10K when? Last weekend?
Yes.
Then that's 6. So if you did 1 mile increments, which is obviously typical of a half marathon training plan, if you went 7, 8, 9, 10, then that is as much as I trained for the last half marathon I did, and I felt really good about it, and it was fine, and it was the best one I've ever run, I think.
Yeah,
10 is okay. I know you like to feel a bit more prepared than that, but
I would generally,
you could do an extra long run, so it's 6 weeks away, right? You could do your lot, you could do an extra 11 on the weekend before,
and
but then
taper.
Be really, really careful to. I've done that before too, and then be really careful to taper, like properly taper during the week on the weekdays, because that does still give you a week of taper time, which is fine.
Yeah, I'll see. And I do. I remember training for something like either a half or a marathon, or whatever, last year at the National Running Show, and having. I think I did my long run before we went, And I think it screwed me.
I think I did too. I think we were training for Berlin at that point.
Oh, was
no,
it?
No, 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 no. No, it would have been Paris. It was Paris.
Oh, would it have been Paris? That far?
I think so.
Maybe. Oh, no.
Yes, because
tell you
it
what,
was end of Jan.
Yeah, and I did actually have the London Marathon, didn't I? In April.
Yeah, yeah, in April. So you would have been started.
So I was probably...
I remember we were all a bit anxious about that. I remember talking to lots of listeners at the National Running Show, and we were all a bit like, we're supposed to be doing Paris, and we haven't really done anything, and it was fine. I think I also maybe did it on the Friday. So you could definitely do that.
Yeah.
Do and it I did, on a Friday, I did, and then we'll all go up together, and then we'll get pissed on the Friday
get
night,
drunk.
And it'll be funny.
Yeah. Lovely. Yeah. But I did, it did make me think though, like all this worry and my kind of list making and my plans and, you know, like never happier than when I've got three different training plans that sort of interlink so I can kind of cross-reference and, you know, all that kind of shite. And it did make me think because there are actually quite a lot of people that I follow on Instagram who don't use training plans, who just do it. And they basically, they're behaving how I behaved before I kind of realized that training plans were kind of a thing, right? So I, something that I used to do, I guess, when I was around about, you know, about 20 years ago, when I was training then, I would just in my head or written down on a piece of, I guess I was making my own training plan essentially. And the focus was purely on that long run. And just adding the miles up and just sort of ticking that off.
Until
and
then you got kind of to that length kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, until you sort of got comfortable with it. And it's only kind of obviously in more recent years that I've started kind of adding in kind of more complicated technical stuff and da-da-da.
I feel like last year when I did the Bath half, that was like the, I kind of also was just adding miles on until I got to about 10 or 11 and then I was like probably good to go. I wasn't very good at, but I was doing time not distance then, which I think
if you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Kind of almost encourages that a little bit. I think it's fine sometimes to kind of go with the flow a bit, as long as you are doing a bit of strength and technical and stuff in between.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of it. I was just wondering what people out there, what you guys do, how many, like, I'd love to know the proportion of people that use a specific training plan because they feel like they like the support and the accountability of it versus the people who are just a bit like, nah, I don't like being told what to do. I know what I like doing. I'm just going to go and do it. And I realized that I think it's a bit me too.
Yeah,
I wonder
I quite
if
like doing that.
Yeah. I wonder if, because I was thinking about it this morning when I was being told off for not washing a particular pan up in the correct manner. Mm. Very weird. That I in my head I just thought I just don't like being told what to do. I don't like being told what to do. Like, I never particularly like training. And I don't like someone wagging their fingers and saying, this is how you do stuff. And with the training plans and things that I followed, like, I sort of really like the structure, but at the same time, I resent the teacheriness of it. I resent someone saying, I know better than you, and you should be doing 8 intervals of 9.5 seconds. Da, 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 da. And I'm just like, should I?
I think that's exactly how, I think that's so normal. And that seems to be how sort of how Cara's handling the 5K plan too. I think she's got a little bit of like, because we offered to get her a coach, and she was like, absolutely not. I don't want someone wagging their finger at me. Straight away. It was a similar thing to your reaction then. And I think mine is a bit different, but I completely get that. I think mine is I'm quite a, rather than necessarily being a methodical person, I'm quite a creative bursts person, and I have to ride the bursts when they come. And I often find that sometimes it can help pushing, but often it doesn't help pushing myself. I just end up being like, if I'm having to force myself to do something when I'm having a dip. And training plans, obviously they don't really take that into account. It's very like, it's regimented, and that can be really good. Like, I do thrive off routine, and like often that stuff can be good, but I like to feel like I've got the space to go, I really want to run today, or I really don't want to run today. And it starts to freak me out a bit with the training plan sometimes, that I'm like, oh, but that's on a Tuesday, and I know I've got that big meeting that usually I feel tired afterwards. And, you know, I think sometimes that's what makes me a bit anti it, because I'm like, oh, don't tell me how I'm supposed to feel about running that day. I'll decide.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. But how do we then structure? Like,
I know.
God, this episode's all been about running.
What the fuck? I know, it's actually disgusting. 35 minutes in.
And I was going to ask you another question about running as well. So I don't know what's come over us. It must be January.
We can't even have the running bit jingle. This whole episode is the running bit.
I know.
Yeah.
God. Foul. I have no idea what's going on. Because I was going to sort of say, like, one thing I really wanted to do in January is to plot in some races or some events, I guess, through the year. I've got 2. It's not enough. I want a really chunky one in the summer or the autumn, and I don't want it to be a city marathon. I want it to be something else, and I haven't quite figured out what that could be or the logistics of that. So I'm just sort of thinking. So I was going to ask the same question of you, of like, if you've got any things that you want to do. I know that we've got New York Half in April. Have you thought beyond
that? We have. Yeah. So I'm starting to think beyond it, basically. I'm thinking April, same as you. I'm really looking forward to that. I know it's going to be a really nice one. I'm finding it really motivating at the moment that I know that I want to also. I think it's quite, I don't want to put anybody off who is thinking of joining us, but I think it is a little on the undulating side. I think that I want to feel strong for it, basically. I don't want to end up being like, oh, we can't go and, you know, go to museums and have a nice day the day afterwards, because I sort of need to be airlifted home after the race. So I want to feel strong for that. But I'm with you that I feel like I would like a chunky autumn thing to look forward to. I will say on the pod, I haven't been sure whether I want to say, because I want everybody to take this with a pinch of salt, because I haven't decided what it is. I haven't looked at the timing yet. I'm very conscious of the fact that we're potentially moving house and buying house this year, and that might be, it all might be a bit much. But on the opposite side to what you're thinking, would quite like to do a road marathon.
Oh, she said it!
We need the police!
That's how I feel about that.
I have said it, and I would like to do it. And a little bit of a part of me, I did mention it. Esther and I talked about it after we had that night where we drank that margarita that made us so incredibly drunk after one. We had had a couple of glasses at the
do. But yeah, that margarita was something else. And that margarita also made us have a big deep chat about doing a marathon. And at that time, I was getting a bit overexcited because I'd just seen Esther do New York. And it was, as it always is when you watch a race like that, it was so emotional. And especially when you care about someone who's doing it, it was like, oh, I want to do that really badly. But I think I've thought about it since our kind of drunken chats on that night. And I think probably a destination marathon. I wouldn't mind doing another destination half, which is good because I just remember where we are. I think for a marathon, it would be nice to do something a bit closer to home just because it will be my first if I do it. And I want it to be as few variables as possible. But yeah, honestly, right up until the recording of this episode, I was like, Esther and I were talking about it before, and I was like, shall I say? I really don't want everyone to get like overexcited. But I think as long as we talk about it all the way through and we're honest about it, I might be getting ahead of myself. I might need to look at something for like next spring rather than this autumn. But I would like to look at something for this autumn, depending on life stuff. And I think it fits because we'll have done a half in at the end of April. And so it will be a bit of a similar sort of like, either it would be carrying on training. It depends. Some of the ones that we've looked at are in like September. And I'm sure that won't be too much time off, but, or it will be a little bit of a break while kind of maintaining it and then building back up again. I'm not sure. Anyway, my dad said he'd be really, really proud of me if I did it. And I know we're both
just God.
That's kryptonite to us.
Yeah. Holly, we would all be so proud of you if you did that. I mean, we're proud of you anyway. You don't have to do this. You've got to prove nothing to us. We know you're a runner. But I think it's like we were talking just before.
Epic content.
It's trying to figure out what, isn't it? Because like, most of the kind of majory ones are spring. There are a bunch of others in autumn, but what I like about this is what's lovely is that with our introvert, extrovert, yin yang, different personality type thing going on, it's almost as if we scripted it. What you potentially thrive on is something that I've realized is the thing that I'm not enjoying particularly, which is the crowds and the support and stuff. So like just before we came on, I was like, oh, you could do that lovely New Forest marathon. That's a marathon as well as a half marathon.
It does sound beautiful.
Yes, but there is no one there. It's like doing, you're doing 26 miles in front of two ponies and a marshal going, oh, well done, well done. And sit.
No, I think I need I need do 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 and like cheerleaders going. I need maybe there's going to be some sort of a musical theatre choir going on. Vuvuzelas.
All of them.
Those spin round and round and round.
So even when we were talking about other ones that you could potentially, like we were talking about Loch Ness, there's a vast swathe of Loch Ness where there is no one there either. So, you're basically...
And I'm not too keen on that big hill.
No, there is a hill, yeah. But there is Nessie. But, it does mean that in terms of UK, that's like Brighton, Manchester, London. I mean
this is when it is good to have a gang, isn't it? Because if you guys do know of any others that you think fills that quota of like Yorkshire Marathon, that's a big one.
Good point.
If anyone can think of any that are worth considering. And also it does bring us on to, because if Esther's looking for something, I'm talking about you in the third person. It's really weird when we do that. Just sometimes I remember people are actually listening. You are looking for something potentially that is a bit of a different challenge. Yeah. And I'm looking for something that's a bit of a, well, it's not, it's a marathon, but maybe a bit of a basic bitch marathon. I want, I want all the non-variables possible. But I guess we've been in quite a fortunate position that all of the races and events that we've done before, I did pay for entry to Bath Half last year because yep. it was something that I really wanted to do. But generally they've been things that we've done because we've had the opportunity to do as part of women's running, where someone said, oh, we'd love for you to come do this race, or, you know, obviously sports tours, we've got a lovely relationship with, and we've done quite a few things with them. And, but I don't really know how you look for a race. Like, how do you find your next challenge? If you're looking for like a crazy trail thing or an ultra or something like that, that you've never done before, where do you find that? If I'm looking for, I mean, I tried typing like flat road marathon autumn UK, but it's quite difficult to find something that sort of fits
it's
exactly
very difficult.
What you're after.
I can tell you where you can start, and that would be with the January issue of Women's Running, which has a 16-page pull-out race guide. 2024.
You're so right. And I should have it underneath my feet right now, but I don't know where I've put it.
But yes, that's number one. But I think the other thing I was going to say was she's got it.
Okay.
I used to think that kind of the sites like Let's Do This and Find a Race, I used to think that they were what's the word I'm looking for? The complete. And and then they're not. They're obviously not, because they have kind of, and for you know, kudos to them. They have, it means they have partnerships with various kind of race brands and stuff, which means that they will have certain races and not other races. You'll find like hyper local races on either of those huge kind of websites, or you know, so some things like the one that I really love doing, that Bath Beat one that I do. That's like a secret email that goes out on January the 1st, and only 300 people get spaces for it. You know, so it's kind of, you know, it's stuff like that. So it's a lot of Googling is what it is. But I think also it's a lot of word of mouth. Like, I think there are some races that I've heard about just because someone's told me about it down the pub, or because someone has said it on Discord and they've talked about, oh, actually, I do something near me and I do this, that, and that. So that's why I think you're right. I think we should say it here for our own selfish, like, reward. Like, I want to know, for me, Holly wants a flat road popular marathon in the autumn. With lots of cheering.
And preferably in the UK.
Preferably in the UK.
Or if it's not in the UK, just maybe not like too far afield, because I don't think I want to go to, I don't want to go to a different time zone so much.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So not Boston. Right. So.
Probably not. That's Holly. Well, also, let's be honest, Esther. It's probably not happening anytime soon.
Is this going to be the year that you BQ?
Look at me. I look like a BQer.
You do look like a BQer. Oh,
thank you. Yeah, I shouldn't make jokes like that. Thank you.
No,
I could be.
You are. You could.
But I'm not.
Let's not do that. For me, I want a 50K trail, not too elevate-y. And nearby, my thing with it is logistics. It's like, where do I stay the night before? Where do I stay afterwards? And when I've spoken to friends that have done that sort of thing, the issue is getting there and getting back from there. If you don't go with a group of people, because if you're doing 50K, trail 50K, people are finishing that in, you know, there'll be people out there finishing that in like, you know, 6 hours, but there'll be people finishing it in 12. And so there's this huge window. You can't get your partner to wait around for 6 hours in the freezing cold if you know, to pick you up and take you home again. And it, many of them don't finish where there are public transport links. So, you know, it's finding somewhere where you can find a cheap ass premier in the night before and get a train back from the following day. So those are my criteria. And I'd like it to be nice. And I wouldn't like it to be too muddy either, please, thanks. So yeah, okay. I'm not a huge mud fan. I want people to write in with those suggestions.
Not too much to ask. Well, I think we've got our parameters. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think we go away and we'd be sick a couple of times. And then we look. We know a bit more about where to look. And maybe you're right. Maybe it's a bit like buying a blooming house or something. It's a Google every day for a little while situation until you find quite the right thing. When you got, a lunch break or something, having a little goog and seeing what you can find. Mm.
Yeah. And I find it, actually, that kind of race diaries anyway are tough, because if it is marathon and we are correct in the assumption that most of the biggies in our hemisphere are spring, it does mean that you're training through the winter, which I absolutely hate.
And I know, I just want to find a nice autumn one, because I just think every time I've trained for a race in the autumn, I felt so much more prepared than when I've trained for one in the spring, because Christmas sets you back. If, like me, you do value, like, you know, and there's nothing wrong with either way, but like, I really do value rest time, and I love being with my family and not feeling like I need to be distracted, and like being, not having to sort of think about, also, I suppose, because although this is something that we love doing and we feel passionately about, and obviously we wouldn't do things like this if it wasn't also something that we loved, but it's work, it's part of what we do, and sometimes it feels like training for those things over, you know, holiday periods is a bit like it makes it more difficult for me to switch off from the day job a bit, because it's like I'm thinking about what I'm going to say on the podcast about this and what I and how we're going to write about this for the mag and blah blah blah, and it makes it a bit more difficult. So it would be lovely if it could be something that would be over summer, when we'll be working anyway, it'd be nicer weather, I'll be thinking about that stuff, I'll be motivated, I'll want to get up out the house. Let's make it happen. I'm sure we can.
Yeah. Let's do it. Oh, that sounded as though I was... Oh, no, let's do this. It's fine. I thought I was kind of surreptitiously sneaking in some sort of product placement, but I'm not.
I thought that you were surreptitiously doing a Nike thing then, but then I remember that's just it was. It. Maybe is nothing. So maybe let's get the legal team on it. And let's patent it now. I wanted to quickly read you an email that was just like a nice thing. And I, you know, we have received loud and clear all of your messages about Parkrun. Totally appreciate the discourse, and I love it. It's lovely to hear all of your thoughts. If we haven't read it, if we don't, you know, it's not because we weren't interested and we didn't value your opinion. I read every single one of them, and I totally hear what you're all saying. But I think, you know, we're going to be talking about it until we're 87 years old if we keep going. So,
yeah.
I will go to some more park runs, and I hear you. It's what I have to say. But I did want to read this nice little message. This was from Anya. It was off the back of our running habits episode with Anna. And I've really thought about it a lot over the last week. And it was a big thing that motivated me to get up yesterday and go early doors. So she said, my name's Anya. I've been a fan of the podcast for a year now. It's my favorite thing to listen to on long runs because most of the episodes are exactly long enough. Love that. Thank you. That's very lovely to hear. And I'm so glad that us banging on does actually serve a purpose there. She said, currently training for high school track season, and I've had to build my running habit up from scratch after finishing swim season. One of the things that's helped me the most is reframing the I have to run mentality as I get to run. I don't want to run if it's something I have to do, and it makes me forget how much I love running if it becomes a chore. This is kind of what we were talking about earlier, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah.
Instead, I say I get to run. I get to take time out of my day to have some alone time. I get to listen to music or a certain podcast, a certain running podcast, perhaps. I get to move my body and I get to feel great afterwards. It's really helped me to keep going with training and be more consistent with running. So I just wanted to share. I've been really thinking about that email a lot.
that it, I think that's genius. I love tiny
really
little things like that.
Isn't it?
That kind of that minute switch can be just the thing that you need. Like there was a thing that I was reading the other day that I really, really loved too, which was I think the Guardian, you know, my favorite thing to read apart from Women's Running, the Guardian had a thing in it which
second
was like tiny, second best publication in the whole world, apart from when it's reporting on Channel Tunnel closures. But it had tiny little things you could do to kind of, I don't know, make yourself feel a bit better. So no big life changes or whatever. And one of the things I really, really liked was, if you can do it in a minute, then do it right then and there. Don't put it off. Just do it if you can do it in a minute.
I saw that too. I saw that piece as well. It was great.
I have found that, and I know we're only on day five, but I have found that for the last 4 days, incredibly motivating to just get shit done.
Yeah.
So I would normally like... Yeah, it's great. Sorry, what?
Yeah, no, I was just going to, I was like, I'm going to order a baking tray after this. I can do that in a minute, and I've needed to do that for weeks, and I keep putting it off. I'm like, I'll do it in a bit. There we go.
I did the same thing last night ordering a bra. I did, I mean, you know.
Why are we putting it off? I can do it in a minute.
But it's,
I really love that.
I love it because I would come upstairs to like go to the loo or whatever and see that I'd got all this kind of, you know, clean laundry is the bane. I've seen a meme where it's like, you know, an hour to wash, 2 hours to dry, 4 weeks to fold up and put away. I mean, it's a ridiculous. Anyway, I had a heap of stuff on the bed, and all I do now, or what I've kind of reset my mind to do in the last sort of 4 days, is when I come up, if that heap is there, just to do a bit of it, like do a minute's worth, just put the pants away. Or roll up the socks or something, and it just means it's less of a bind when I'm up and having to do
it
a bit later
that.
On.
I think I've been sort of, I hadn't had a name for it, but that's, I'm going to say that little mantra to myself, because I've been doing that with the washing up. I'm awful at doing the washing up, but I've had to get better at it, because previously in our lives I would do the cooking, Doug would do the washing up. It's always been our sort of thing, because I like cooking and Doug doesn't like it so much. I hate washing up, he doesn't mind it so much. And since he's had this job that means that he works quite long hours, I've had to do more, because I can't just leave washing up to be like, oh, I'll leave it for Doug for when he gets home, because he's not going to get back till way later. So I've had to force myself to become a washing up girly, and I've been finding it so much more manageable doing exactly the same, where it's like every time I go over to the kitchen to make a cup of tea and I see that there's like a couple of mugs or whatever, then I'm like, well, I'll just do them now, rather than letting it pile up and being like, oh, I'll do it all after work or something, because it just makes it a bit easier to, then it just feels more manageable.
It's the bite-sizedness of it, isn't it? So I'm doing exactly the same thing, because in my head, I would always think to myself, I must clean the kitchen, and cleaning the kitchen is a half day task, but spraying that bit of surface in the corner takes about 15 seconds, but removes part of the, you know, so it's kind of doing tiny, tiny little bits, and it's kind of putting things away. And so I feel, it makes me feel much more kind of on top of stuff. So I'm definitely going to try and continue that. It's more tricky when it comes to running, because obviously running is a bigger chunk of stuff, but I tell you what, it is very useful to keep in mind when it comes to strength, because you can actually, she says to herself, knock out 10 press-ups in a minute. So you could, you know, while you're waiting for the kettle to boil, maybe not check Instagram and do a calf raise or two.
Yeah, that makes me feel like I would just like rip open my shirt to reveal an eight pack.
Surely you do that already, right?
Yeah. Actually, before we close, I wanted to ask you this, and I'm really putting you on the spot, but when we also went away to Devon, Torquay area, Totnes area, whereabouts were you?
Not there. We were up in Exeter, so the other end.
Not as far down.
I thought about that because we both went to France, didn't we? So I just thought, have we just
been
following
each
other?
I think we did just follow each other. We didn't get a ferry on the same day, did we?
No, because we, in the end, we went under rather than over.
You channeled.
We le shuttled. So that's
the way
we
went. Oh, you le shuttled. Yeah. Oh, nice. That's nice. That's
we
classy,
say nice. It's the first time I've ever done it, and I almost shat my pants. It's terrifying.
Is
being,
it?
Being in a car, in a train, under the
it
channel.
Is it the normal channel? Yeah.
It's because I've only ever done Eurostar before. So sitting on a train.
A classic. Were you disappointed that you couldn't see fish out the window?
That's what my brother said. No.
Yeah.
But I did think pressure of the water. This can't hold. There's too much going on. I was terrified. But then I was terrified. Yeah. I was just like going, ah, and then suddenly you're out in France and it's gone. So
it's quite
was
quick,
very
isn't it? It's quicker than a ferry. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Much quicker than a ferry.
Oh,
did you meet any good people on the ferry
any
like you did last time?
Yeah. Not really. On the way there, it went in an absolute flash because we did an overnight one. So we got to the bar, had a pint, and then we were like, let's go to sleep. And we did. I was lying in that cabin going, I am never, ever going to sleep. It was like quite rocky and obviously it's really noisy. And I was like, I'm never, ever, ever going to sleep. And the next thing I knew, I was waking up to the Brittany Ferries alarm that is like, yes. Ding, 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 da, 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 da. And then it's like,
oh God, yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so nice. That was a lovely wake up. Le petit déjeuner. Or whatever. So loved that very much. And then I had my petit déjeuner and then it was, we were docking. So that was a dream. We didn't have a chance to really meet anybody. And then on the way back, Doug was incredibly hungover. So I was mainly worried about trying to make sure he wasn't sick. And
oh God, how awful.
There was quite a gang of us cause, that were traveling back to different places, but all on the same day because we'd all been together in France. So me and Doug, Auntie Penny, Uncle Simon, and then Daisy and her boyfriend as well. So
yeah.
The classic. So we had enough of us that we had a few sort of card games and things going on. Maybe we were giving off. We're already a family. Don't come here. Whereas Doug and I on our own that time, perfect prey for David Blonaldson. But we did talk about him a lot and we were like, is this going to be another... I kind of thought that was what was going to happen on Boxing Day because I was like, it's an evening / overnight crossing on Boxing Day. Like, surely there's going to be like loads of weird people getting on it. But it wasn't like that. It was quite a cozy family crossing. Everyone did a similar thing, I think. There was a huge queue for the bar as soon as it was taking off. Some people were getting like two glasses of wine at once just to be like, gluh, gluh, and then be like into the cabin, not aware of the rest of the journey then. So we kind of did a bit of that and it was quite nice. Yeah, very choppy on the way back though. Poor old Doug was not doing very well. But what I was going to say to you, and we're running out of time really, but
yeah,
we had this conversation in Devon where we discussed how one way that we felt that we had sort of changed in some way and not in a sort of like, I have become the sort of person who does, I don't know, 17 million. I mean, it might be the press ups thing or it might be, but just more in a way that we were sort of looking back over the year and being like, rather than being hard on ourselves and being like, oh, I've been a right old piece of shit this year or whatever, being like, what have I done that I would be proud of myself that seemed like, sorry, knocked something off the desk then. I was gesticulating so much. I would be proud of myself at the beginning of 2023, knowing I would have sort of achieved at the end of the year. Anything that you can think? Because you made me think of mine, because mine was, I feel like I've got a bit more on top of life. I've always found housework and stuff is one of the things that I neglect the most in life. Because I prioritize relationships and work and other stuff that's going on. And then I'll be like, washing up's the least important thing. And I have become a bit better at going, you know what, that does actually have quite a bad long-term effect on my mental health when I leave things in disarray. So I've tried to be a bit more of a organized person this year. And I think 2023 January me would look at 2024 January me and go, fair play, Holz. Did you just do two loads of washing in one day and like feel quite pleased about that?
Yeah.
Oh, but that's what about you?
I don't No, I think there's lots of stuff that I want to do this year to make myself feel generally happier, which I haven't got a handle on yet. And I think that might be a balance issue. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think that if I go back to me in January 2023, to look forward a whole year and think, shit, I did two marathons. And I know that's running rather than anything else.
No, that's fine. It could be running.
It's actually got to a point where at the end of last year and the beginning of this year, I forget that I did London in April as well as New York in November. And actually, that's two huge training blocks. It took over the whole year. No wonder I was in a bad mood. So I think I'm chuffed to bits that I've done those two things. And I am really, really super proud of myself. And I think this year, differently shaped goals, which means that I can actually spend a bit more time with the kids and be less of an arsehole, I think it would be my top resolution, nice. Really. Yeah.
I think mine is probably being a little bit less of an arsehole. No, more of an arsehole.
Oh yeah, brilliant. Should I give you some tips?
I want to be the sort of person who goes, no, actually, I don't want to do that. Thank you. I'm going to try and be that person.
Well, that's easy. I think I need to learn how to say yes more, don't I? So I think we come at it from different...
Okay, let's discuss you saying yes or me saying no more and us trying to find the golden ratio, whatever it's called, the Goldilocks zone. Yeah. Yeah. Perfect.
Really good idea.
Just to give you and everybody else an update on my other resolutions, I'm conscious that I haven't mentioned that I am on series one, episode 5 of The Sopranos, and I'm loving every second of it.
Oh, Holly, so proud.
And Doug and I keep walking around the house going, woke up this morning, got myself done. We keep doing that. And I love it. It's so good. And being like, Tony, get the fuck out of here. Every time one of us always is annoying.
Tony.
I love it.
Which always makes me think of that Tony Blair Christmas card. Have you seen the meme? There's a Tony and Cherie Christmas card from like the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that?
Oh, yes.
And Tony Blair is smiling.
My godfather was a recipient of it, actually, because he's a judge. I remember him having it on his... He got that very Christmas card. I remember him being very...
Oh, you want to put up in the bar when she's going, leave it, Tony's not worth it, or something. I think it's...
I have no idea whether he would still have it. I have received a version from my friend Will, with him and his housemate at the time having superimposed their heads onto it. That was their Christmas card a couple of years ago. It was great.
A different Tony, but it does make me think of Tony.
Yeah, Tony. Tony.
Well, Karen enjoying it, and I'm going to carry on rewatching The Detectorists and...
Oh, you know. We're also watching that too and loving it. That's the lighter if we've had enough Sopranos.
Mm-hmm. That is the perfect way round. The perfect way round. Yeah. An episode of Sopranos and a quick 25 minutes of Detectorists.
Herbal tea. Good night.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
I'm loving it all. I'm loving Jan.
Thank you for listening. Come and join us on Patreon. You can get a ton of extra Pod Squad benefits from just £2 a month, including newsletters, live chats, and you can join our exclusive Discord community for friendly chat and support with like-minded women runners. Go to patreon.com/womensrunning to find out more. This podcast was recorded over Zencastr. The producer and composer was David Newman. Please hit like and subscribe. That way you won't miss the next episode. And do please email us at wrpodcast@anthem.co.uk with any questions or running stories, as we would love to include them in a future podcast. Happy running.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project,
there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.